everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. This is our first episode of May 2017. Oh, that sounded good. Joining me tonight is Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm all right, Joseph.
That sounds good. I have a cold. Well, I had a cold for like the past 3 weeks and it would go away for like 5 days and come back for 2 days. So in classic theme park podcast tradition, I'm going to down some NyQuil right now. So the episode's going to get really fun. So also joining...
Better end at 45.
Yeah, exactly. When you hear my snoring, you guys can leave. Also joining us is Lane. Lane, how are you doing?
I'm spectacular. Fresh off of a Midwest trip. Weather's good down here. Got some summer grilling in. Getting ready for my Typhoon Lagoon body for the end of the summer.
That sounds good. Also joining us, a very special guest who's been on the show, I think, like two or three times prior. He hasn't been on a while. Let's get him on now. Joining us is Mr. Banks Lee from Attractions. Banks, how are
Hello.
You doing?
I'm good. How are you? It definitely has been a while.
Yeah, we had this thing where, like, no one had – could, like – we really couldn't predict episodes ahead of time, so we never did any guests for, like, a year. And then we were just like, ah, screw it. So we got you on to talk about Pandora in a little bit. But first, let's start with the news.
That's a tease.
I know, right? That's I'm burying the lead, as or whatever it's called in speak lingo. Let's start off real quick. Halloween Horror Nights. The Shining? Question mark? I mean, it sounds like someone was forwarded... It was rumored for a while. Someone was forwarded a travel agent email that says The Shining's coming. But it wasn't the actual email. It was a photo. And who knows? But The Shining. What are your guys' thoughts on The Shining being at Halloween Horror Nights?
They only have so many horror movies from nostalgia that they can dig from, and this is one of them.
Good point. Banks?
It's fine. It's a big get. Nope. So
yeah, Nick. Yeah, Banks, what are your thoughts?
It's fine.
I mean, that makes me very excited. The Shining is one of my favorite horror films of all time. Of course, the Nicholson version, not the made-for-TV movie version.
The one that Stephen King hates.
That would be an interesting house. I think it's going to be... I think it has a lot of potential, and I would hope that if they do it, that it would be a soundstage house to really build upon the detailed sets of the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if they do it as a soundstage, they could kind of do it how they did Body Collectors 2 years ago.
Yes,
with, like, the snow outside at night. That'd be sweet, and just having all the snow drifts. I mean, clearly, when I first thought about this, like, there's all the crazy stuff in the movie, but then there's also, like, the weird kind of awkward things, like, hey, there's the guy in the bear suit giving the dude a blowjob, and all that other things, and I'm like, I don't know how that's gonna be in the house.
Asian bear coming back.
Yeah, he's fallen on hard times, everyone. He's doing tricks to get by.
Am I the only one who immediately wanted the Simpsons version of The Shining?
That's exactly... That was exactly what I want to talk about next, was if they were going to put a Shining reference in somehow in there.
Yes.
Like, just like here's what's going to happen. They're going to have, like, lightning and a black light come on with all the, you know,
the
all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But, like, one of the lines should be the Homer line. You know, no beer and no TV make Homer do something, something. You know, that kind of thing. So... yeah, I think they should definitely do a reference for that, so that'd be cool. Any other thoughts about Halloween Horror Nights? I mean, it's still early. We haven't heard anything. It's coming, I guess.
It's kind of weird that we didn't get an announcement at all in April, right? It's a little weird, right?
But that's because they talked about stuff early. I guess they don't even
They've
really
always
have
talked
to
about
advertise
one thing, though.
Every year for that anymore early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, people have their trips. They're going to come for that. They just need to get locals to come out, so we'll get information before they need locals to start getting ready to go.
Is it so? I think it's bad that, you know, the first house was announced so early that right now I can't even think of what the heck it is.
American Horror Story.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, the other three seasons. Okay.
The other three.
I guess they're focused on Volcano Bay, but, I mean, it's just like...
Yeah, I'd imagine we'll start seeing some house announcements rolling out.
And Fallon.
Yeah, you got to remember they did a Fallon. They did a pre-summer, a summer, and then Horror Nights is kind of third. That's a lot of stuff to promote for.
That's true. And yep. Then apparently they're starting to push the Aventura, too. So.
Yeah, which looks cool.
Yeah.
I like the rooms. They do look nice. They look contemporary, so that's super cool.
I feel like with that hotel, like, all rooms would look to have a good view. Like, one side you'll have Volcano Bay, the other side you'll have Sapphire and the parks. Like, I really feel like there would be, no matter where you stay, you have a good view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's definitely...
I-4.
I think that's going to become the new Halloween Horror Nights hotel, because you're not paying for the amenities that you really don't use at Cabana Bay. Like bowling and stuff like that. So it's just kind of a more so a dirt and, you know, pretty dirt cheap hotel for those staying for like a long weekend or something. So,
well, it's a room.
Yeah.
It's a hotel room.
On property. So you can stumble back at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Hotel room you can kind of walk to.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess we can mention that real quick. They announced hotel bookings starting, I think, August 1st, 2018 for Aventura Hotel. So, I think it starts at like 175, 180, something like that for that time, but it drops down. I don't have the pricing in front of me, so my apologies. You see, we're very unprofessional, guys.
So could you already book your Horror Nights 2018 trip?
Yes, you can. Yeah. You can already book. You can book Halloween Horror Nights 28 already. So everyone get up on that. So going into a little bit, Volcano Bay had some announcements. They're doing premium seating for $29, and you can start getting your cabanas now. They start at $160 for single-level cabanas for 6 people, or $300 for 16-people cabanas. And they start at that pricing, because I've heard pricing has already skyrocketed on a few days. So it sounds pretty variable also. Yeah, and the park's coming together. Looks like I saw the Action River was running the other day. They were running the waterfalls. It looks like the wave pool's up and running. But some, like, slides are still getting replacement pieces, I guess. So, man, they're a week out. They're coming in hot.
They'll have part of it ready.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. Every time I drive by there, I'm just like, I can't believe they're going to be finished by the end of this month. Like, they're trying to be finished by the end of this month. It's definitely, I have a feeling that there's going to be things that we're not going to be able to do during the media day.
Yeah.
Conveniently not being able to do. It's like, try these areas, because we have other things that are coming later. So, yeah, I mean, it's clear that they're going to – that they don't have, like, all the pavement down and everything, so it's rough. But, yeah.
Banks, are you getting to go to the media day?
Yeah, the way that's because that's also, you know, we all know it's the same day as Avatar, too. So,
yeah.
Our team's splitting up. Matt and one other are going over to Pandora that day, and then I'm going with a couple of reporters to Volcano.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Cool. So,
I'm going to stay behind camera because no one wants to see my body on camera. So I do not have a Volcano Bay bod ready to go. But I'm excited. I'm still very, very excited. I'm very excited to go in there with a camera and start getting some awesome shots, because that place just looks, from the outside, just looks really awesome.
It looks photogenic. It looks like a place that you're going to want to take a camera, and it's a water park, which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, what is it, the iPhone 7 Pluses and some
Android? Yeah.
Are water resistant.
Yeah, splash proof.
Yep.
Yep. And also, I guess we're nearly done with the Wet and Wild demolition, which I thought there'd be a few slides remaining for like the hotel, but I guess not.
No, I drove by there this morning, and I was just blown away by how much has been taken down over just the past week. There's pretty much the only slide remaining is the Black Hole and Disco H2O. Those are the only two still standing.
That's crazy.
Everything has been demolished.
I would have put money on them holding on to the Mach 5 and the Blast Away Beach thing for the hotel.
Yeah, they made a really big deal when they opened Blast Away Beach about that being like the largest family play water play area in Florida. And yeah, that would have been actually really cool for the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I would have put money down. Like, if somebody would have said, is anything going to stay for Wet Wild? I've been like, yes, it's going to be Mach 5 and Blastoise. They're side by side in the corner. You have the rest of the land to build hotels. Do it.
I'm curious, the fact that, like, the black hole is still standing, like, nothing near it has been demolished. I wonder, because that's such an iconic tower, an iconic slide for Wet n Wild. I wonder if someone has either bought it or I don't know.
It'll be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll know soon enough, I guess. I mean, everything's been ripped, torn, kill, so I don't know yet. Next up, Hong Kong Disneyland. Their expansion has been approved, as you may remember from a little while ago. They promised like a $11 billion Hong Kong revitalization project. Basically, it would turn Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters into an Ant-Man attraction, which, may I remind you, Disney's three Marvel attractions are Star Tours, a Tower Terror overlay, and a Buzz Lightyear overlay. So just want to throw that one out there. They're going to add, they're going to do the castle expansion. They're just, you know, the crazy bolting onto the castle. They're opening
basically building a 200-foot castle on top of the existing one.
Exactly.
Like, they're basically leaving the Disneyland-type castle as a guest house and building a Shanghai, a taller, skinnier, or same height, skinnier Shanghai castle directly behind it.
It's effectively when Tim Allen in Home Improvement needed to, like, make a bigger light show than his neighbors, and they just kept adding lights. It's exactly that. They're like, well, Shanghai can't have a big tower. Castle. Yeah, they can't have a big tower. They can't have just a big castle. We need a big castle, too. So there'll be a show. They're opening a Frozen area in 2020, which sounds exactly like the Maelstrom ride, which is bizarre.
Well, no. So that probably is the one that was set to go into Tokyo.
Yeah.
Into Tokyo's main park.
Yeah.
Which was the Maelstrom ride.
Which makes no sense.
Ride with a little more Arendelle around it.
Which doesn't make sense. The ride doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't have any capacities, but never mind. Then they're adding Arendelle around it, and then there will be a Marvel attraction taking over Autopia in 2023. I think Autopia is already closed, and there's no concepts for the Avengers or Marvel attraction yet, from what I hear. So that's happening. Woo! So everyone get pumped. I think there's also a Moana show that's happening, and
I think just Moana's in their new castle show.
Okay.
I thought that there was like something in their Adventureland. They were doing a Moana stage show.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm looking at concept art, and it looks pretty. It looks like Adventureland.
And that's supposed to be the first thing opening, like in 2018.
Yeah.
I believe.
So it looks interesting because they have like tikis that are squirting water at the audience, and then like giant like. Have you guys seen? Have you seen Beatles in Las Vegas? The Beatles show?
No.
Oh, so there's a point like where like the audience takes out and they try to make water using like canvas on
the
audience.
Show?
Yeah, the Cirque show. So they do that in this show also, and there's water and all sorts of crazy stuff. So there you go. Yeah, so that's opening, and yeah, that's about it, I guess. I think that was just an update. I think we talked about this in a prior episode, but just wanted to give everyone a quick update. Also, a quick update. Kings Island and Cedar Point real quick. Sorry, the NyQuil's hitting real fast, real quick, everyone. at Cedar Point, Mean Streak. Cedar Point opened last weekend. Mean Streak's looking crazy. That's still on for 2018. Still on for 2018. I cannot wait. If there's going to be one of those rider auctions, I'm totally doing it. Just like I did for Mystic Timbers, which then segues right into me talking to Lane about Mystic Timbers. So, Lane, you rode Mystic Timbers. What are your thoughts?
I went to Kings Island on Sunday. Man, that's a good park. It's so fun. It's clean. People are pretty nice. We had a good – it was cold to me, like 55 and sunny spring Ohio day. And, man, that place has some good roller coasters. Banshee packs a punch. We rode Diamondback 5 or 6 times. It's just an awesome park. Mystic Timbers was, and the Beast is always a little faster than you think it's going to be. in that double helix tunnel thing. Mystic Timbers was awesome. It was such a cool ride. It was a little compact, you know, but that's just me. Yeah, I think it's a 10 out of 10 wooden roller coaster, especially for a new build. 2017, kind of terrain, kind of some woods. It's an out and back. It doesn't really have airtime hills. So you don't really get true airtime hill, but it does do the kind of mogul hill where you pretend to get airtime and then it turns you sideways and flips you back down. And I liked that. The shed was necessary for marketing because you couldn't say, hey, we're building a medium great wooden roller coaster in 2017 and we're putting it at Kings Island. Because it's not really a headliner. But because of the shed, they advertised it as a headliner, and I think that's okay. I think it's cool when marketing sometimes affects the products that actually get made. That's how we got Swiffers. So, because somebody at marketing said, "Hey, we could market this product." Okay, well, we'll make this product. The shed was really cool. I got two different scenes. I got the tree once and the snake twice. And the tree was cool. The snake was cool. I think it's a great thing. You know, you have to sit there after the train house at the end of the break run, anyways. And this is just an opportunity for them to do the tiniest bit of show. And, you know, I was explaining it to Ashley that people aren't going to be mad if it works as it's intended. And if you swing kind of low, like it's just some stage lighting, a jukebox, and a projector screen, and it's going to work like that. If they'd have put a big tree animatronic in and it only worked for a few months, or if they'd have put fire and smoke in and chose not to spend the money to run it, then that would upset people. But it's a medium great ride. You can ride it two times on your Kings Island day, and it's a part of a fun day at a park with 15 or 17 roller coasters.
Yep. And how is Adventure Express? Great as always?
Yeah, Adventure Express is exceptional. it's an exceptional ride.
Yes.
I danced. Oh, I think the effects were more, Joe.
Oh, that's because we probably...
They were more than last year.
Well, I think it's the start of the season anyways.
Yeah.
So
go to your parks early in the season. Oh, coaster riding-wise, Mystic Timbers does warm up.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go faster after it's a little warmer. So that made it a little quicker later in the day.
Cool. So let's get to it, right, shall we? We asked Banks on to talk some about Pandora. He got to go into the land as part of cast member previews. He was invited as a plus one for a cast member. So this was separate from the media previews that occurred. I don't know where to start. So Banks, do you just want to start talking about Pandora, and we'll ask questions and jump in as we see fit?
Yeah. Okay. So Pandora, let me just, first, you pretty much said it correctly. I did not go to the first media event. My boss went to that one. This was just me going as a guest to cast previews. So I was not told to say things. I can say whatever I want about it, give my personal opinion. And what it is I believe it is the most detailed, pretty, just jaw-dropping land that Walt Disney World has ever built.
Mm-hmm.
The level of detail inside this place, I feel like I could spend all day there and not see every little thing. So much of the plant life, both real and of course, you know, fake. The mountain range, there's so much to look at on there. There's some animals, real and fake as well. And then when I say real animals, like just, you know, ordinary birds flying in, but they don't have anything like on display.
Mm-hmm.
The boat ride is very pretty. I mean, it's harmless. It's just your standard sea ticket boat ride. But some pretty stuff to look at, and the animatronic is just holy crap. The Flight of Passage, I did not get to ride because I do not fit, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about that on my Twitter account, and it's just basically the way it's a motorcycle type seats, there are three restraints that lock in. There's one on your back and two underneath your knees. And the leg restraints were the ones that did not lock for me. I'm actually going back on Friday for a second media day because my boss is going to be out of town, so I'm taking his place, and I'm going to try and ask some of the Imagineers or some people about the seats, because I'll have a lot of people that are asking me questions about that, and I'm going to try it again, try some different ways of adjusting my legs, see if I can get in there, but I'll let everyone know about that on Friday for sure. But
well, Banks, really quick. So yeah. What was it? Was it like because of your calves were too big? Was it that you couldn't slide up into the little spot that your legs go, or what was it?
It's kind of both, really. I do have some large calves, and the space where your legs are supposed to go, there is, and I don't know what to call it. I was initially calling it a shin guard, but there's this giant inflated thing that's there where your legs would go, so you have room for your knees, and then it bows out, and then there's room for your feet underneath. And because of that thing that's sticking out there, I couldn't move my legs forward enough for the restraints to lock into place. Now, I've seen it and talked to people that are skinnier than me but taller, and they can't do it because their legs are too long.
Dang it!
So,
Thanks. How tall are you?
I am 6'2".
6'2", okay.
6'2", about 30.
Well, dang it.
But this is my one downside to Pandora. This is the one thing I hate about Pandora are these seats in Flight of Passage. And it's the one thing that I really see that is Disney's going to have a major problem with, because this is the first time, really, that I can think of in Walt Disney World history that I've seen so many people get turned away from a ride because of their size, both tall and vertical or something like that. I don't know how you say it, but so I really foresee that Disney by the end of the summer or end of the year is going to really have to start thinking about some sort of modified seat.
Now, is it like the Mummy where they kind of lock your shins and feet and knees in place?
Or no, Gringotts?
None of those, okay. Really. It's a restraint system that Disney's never had at Walt Disney World before. This is unique to Florida. Okay. I don't really have a comparison for it, because it's the stuff that locks in is not on the front of your legs. All the stuff is behind your legs.
So is it like the Tron Coaster, the Vekoma motorbike stuff?
That's what you kind of told me.
Lean forward into it and it comes behind you?
Yeah. Yes, that's what people have told me. And actually, there is a ride at Legoland here in Florida called Mia's Riding Adventure. And it's you're on horses on that ride. And the restraints are very similar to that, where you sit down and you have to scoot forward and then something locks in on your back. But on that one, it's just your back, where this one, they also have the additional leg restraints.
That's like the disc rod thing, right? Where you...
Yes.
Just like... Okay.
Yeah. So that's really the only comparison I can think of here in Florida with the restraint system. But, I mean, yeah, that's really my only negative thing to say about Pandora are those seats. And they told me they're going to put test seats out by the opening. So as soon as they do that, I'll probably be going there a lot and testing it out and seeing when I can finally fit.
Yeah. It's one of those things that just seems really weird, because everybody's saying the one on the back, that's normally everybody's concern is your belly, and this is like a different spot that most people don't think about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you know,
we normally don't think about our calves. And
exactly. And I really don't think, I didn't feel at all like my belly was any problem whatsoever, because the back restraint locked perfectly for me. Like, no worries whatsoever. It was just trying to get those leg restraints in. It's just that, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm gonna try again on Friday and post about it. And I'm gonna try to figure this out.
Yes, it almost sounds like it's kind of like one of those you know, for people who go to the gym, like you have the leg machines, like almost like a reverse version of that, where you kind of lock your legs in. So if you go to the gym, skip leg day. It'll make your legs smaller. There you go.
Skip leg day.
It also kind of sounds like that the inflatable bladder thing might be the thing that makes if you feel like the banshee's bleeding that everybody's talked about. Because you said that there was that might be interfering with it too.
Yeah, that's from what I can understand and what people told me. Yeah, it's inflated at the start of the ride. So when you get in, it's already in the inflated position. And then when the ride starts, it deflates. So I think because like my friend told me, he's like, oh, you know, once the ride got going and deflated, then I had like lots of leg room.
So they're going to disable some shows and stuff to get big guys
people in.
Yeah, I really think that they're going to have some seats that don't simulate the breathing.
Oh, well, just some seats that don't do it sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That means you'd at least get to ride it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How was the queue for Flight of Passage? Because from my understanding is the River Journey is there, but Flight of Passage is really nice. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah. It's not, the first thing that I thought of with in terms of this the queue for Flight of Passage, walking through it, my first thought was, this is Walt Disney World's version of the Indiana Jones queue. It is long. It is detailed. There are so many scenes you go through. Like, from what someone told me, like that, I think someone said that line can hold up to 8 hours and not reach the entrance. It is insanely detailed, this queue, and it's really something that everyone really needs to do standby first before they do Fast Pass, because when we went to ride the ride as part of the cast preview, we all went through Fast Pass to get to the ride, but they kept the standby open for everyone to tour and see what it looked like. And the Fast Pass queue bypasses the entire standby queue. You do not see anything in the standby queue if you do Fast Pass.
Oh.
So even the room where like the Avatar is in that water tube, you can't see it through Fast Pass. So if you really want to get that experience, I have to tell people that you need to do standby first.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Okay. Thanks. But, could you tell, you know, they stacked the show building kind of on top of each other, put two rides together. Could you tell where the boat ride was in the show building and where the Flight of Passage was in the show building? Like, did it walk you around?
It definitely, I really think about that. It definitely feels like the boat ride is definitely stays on the bottom level. The queue going up to the load area is pretty much just a flat surface. But with the Avatar, with the Fly Passage queue, you can tell as soon as you enter it, you're starting to go uphill. To by the time you're going inside the caves in the mountain, you feel like you're already two or three stories high.
Okay.
So I can definitely tell that the boat ride, if I'm really thinking about it, the queue for Flight of Passage is probably above the entire boat ride. And then the giant rooms where all the screens are for the simulator part is its own giant building.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I love things like that.
How would you do, like, any other cool things about the queue? Because I've seen the Navi in the, or the Avatar, I forget which, if it's actually Navi or just an Avatar they had
it's
going.
An Avatar.
Okay, so it's an Avatar. Is that a practical effect, or is that Musion? Because I've heard it's, like, kind of water buoyant practical, so.
I stood there for, like, a good 10 minutes just staring at it, and of course, like, anyone that I talked to wouldn't go into technicals about it. They'd keep it like in story about it being an Avatar. They wouldn't say Musion or is it animatronic, but
shut up, Joe, just tell us.
But staring at it, just being there in person, I have to really believe that is an animatronic, no screen whatsoever. You can't go around it, of course, but even when you get to as far to the sides of the tube as you can get, it looks like a physical animatronic, and I really believe that it is. I think I'm more, because if that really is a real animatronic, I think I'm more impressed by that animatronic than I am the Shaman in the River Journey. It's submerged. It is in water. Like, there is no way they could add sort of mechanical elements to the hair and to the tail to make it to look to simulate floating in water. That hair is like in the hair of that Avatar is in water, and I'm just like, how
yeah, it sounds like it's like a water buoyant kind, it's like a water buoyant kind of figure that they use pneumatics on to make kind of move. So it looks really fantastic. It looks very spectacular. Yeah, it's a really good and simple effect.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to be like the highlight and center point of that whole queue. That's the thing that people are going to be talking about well into the day.
Nice. Awesome. Did you get to see anything at night? Because I don't think you did. Did you?
No, but okay. I was at the last preview of the day that I was there, and by the time the preview had ended at 8, you know, the sun was setting, and I started to see some of the plants, the lights coming to life, mm-hmm. the bioluminescence, but not really enough to really get a full sense of what the whole area is going to look like at night. But I could start seeing almost every single Pandoran plant has mm-hmm. some sort of element of bioluminescence to it. So that I really think that area is just going to be spectacular at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to what I said earlier. I feel like you can spend all day and night, and you won't see every little detail.
Okay. Did you check out that giant plant at the beginning that they really highlighted recently?
I forget the name of it because it's some sort of name. I'm going to get video of it on Friday and upload a video of it.
Yeah.
Because, it seems to be a really hot topic plant.
Yeah. So is it just like you interact with it and it blows steam or something? Or
yeah, like apparently, because I remember there is a Wilderness Explorer station right behind it, and they talk. Yeah, I know it doesn't really make much sense, but
yes, that's right.
The way they describe it is that they're there on Pandora to teach guests visiting how plant life on Pandora is similar to plant life on Earth. And they talk about that plant and how some plants on Earth respond to touch, like that Pandora plant. They talk about like the Venus flytrap, how it responds to touch. So they do kind of tie it into Earth in that sense. But there's just an element on that plant where when you start rubbing it, it starts making noise and then sprays out into the air.
So in the lore and fiction of Pandora, does that mean it lines up with does that mean the world of Pandora includes the movie Up or is set during the movie Up? That's my next question.
I was really looking up at the mountains. I thought I saw a house up there.
Did you go snipe putting or anything like that?
I really don't understand the reasoning of having the Wilderness Explorers there, but I got the badges and I got the new updated book, so whatever.
Yep, collectors, you know.
Exactly. That's one thing I wanted to touch upon is, aside from, you know, the Wilderness Explorers, there is so little reference to anything Disney in that land. I mean, I think there's only two. There's only two Disney references that I saw in that whole land. One was there's only one directional sign showcasing which way is to Africa and which way is to Discovery Island, and it's kind of tucked in the back corner of it, so it's not really prominent. And then there's several like themed RDA manhole covers, but there's only one. There was only one of the Disney manhole covers, but it's like really rusted, so you have to really look at it to see. Oh, there's the D with the Mickey head. But other than that, there's no reference to Disney anywhere. FastPass touch points have the Ace logo. They don't have the Mickey head.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy. You really do feel like you're somewhere else. Like you're not even at Walt Disney World anymore.
That's cool, though. I think it not being a Disney movie, you know, it's almost cool if you're there for 6 days to step out of something that's not necessarily 100% Mickey-eared up.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's hidden Mickeys somewhere. I obviously wasn't looking for them, but maybe I'll have to start looking because I'm going after Friday. I'm going Sunday for a pass holder preview with my wife. So
mm-hmm.
Spend some time. We'll look around.
I got a question for you, Banks.
Yes. When
they said, I read somewhere that we would go through a portal into Pandora. Is there really like a portal, or is it just like you go across the bridge and boom, you're in Pandora?
Yeah, I don't understand any portal. I don't think there is a portal. Yeah, it's just basically as soon as you hit that bridge, the theming's okay. around you. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the impression I was getting from people online, but I didn't know if like, whenever I read that and whenever people were first saying portal, I had like this envision of like an arch or something that you walked through that was like, this is the portal that's taking you to Pandora. But
nah,
anyway,
it just blends in like a normal pathway from Tiffin's. So nothing okay. special.
Is there an entrance out the back too? Like cars
there is. There is one that goes on a new path that heads straight to Festival of Lion King. They wasn't able to take that path during the preview, but what the cast member told me in the land is that when it officially opens, the way people are going to enter and exit Pandora, you'll enter by Tiffin's and you'll exit toward Festival of Lion King. So there's going to be one continuous path during the summer while it's brand new and all the crowds are coming. And then I think once fall hits and it gets less crowded, then they'll open both sides up as entrances and exits.
So they're going to go the Hogsmeade route of enter here, exit here.
Kind exactly.
of it, as needed, of course, because mm-hmm. you know, people thought they needed it for Diagon, but they didn't need it. So it kind of opened up. Cool. So you didn't see any... was there any other interactive stuff there? Because there's like some rumors like part of the reason why My Magic Plus was so much money and this was delayed was because they were looking at some My Magic Plus integration, but it doesn't appear so.
No, nothing that I can tell. Really, the only interactive, like, hands-on element that I remember seeing and I can think of right now is there's a drum circle,
uh-huh.
and you can bang on the drums and other, like, instrument-type things, and they make noise, and the harder you press, the louder the bangs are. And it looks like there could be a entertainment element to there, because there is one drum that's blocked off, you can't get up to upstairs, and mm-hmm. it looks like they may have some sort of performer up there at some point, possibly once the official opening happens.
Joe, that's where Celestina does her set from.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was one of the questions we had, was they went to see him preview, they went to the cast member previews, but they didn't see any live entertainment.
Yeah, there wasn't any NARS.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like, if there is any, it doesn't sound like it's happening, but it doesn't...
make sense to do that for the preview.
I mean, like, Diagon Alley had all their entertainment up for the preview, so I don't know. We haven't heard anything about the entertainment, and it seems like something Disney would definitely want to hype up.
Right.
So maybe there is, maybe there isn't, I don't know.
Is there Streamosphere, like they're going to do with Star Wars for this land?
Not that I saw. I mean, there's... Okay. Cast members walking around, and the almost every cast member I talk to are way into the story.
Well, someone has to be,
but they're not actors trying to live up the environment and story like they've teased for Star Wars.
No, there's at least at the cast member preview, was that there was no just people Streamosphere type elements to it at all.
So they're not going to make fun of you for falling off your banshee.
I don't think so. I don't think
they're
making a reputation in this land.
Oh boy!
What about stilt walkers? Have they employed stilt walkers?
No, this is at Disney, not Universal, Nick.
But the Na'vi are.
What about bamboo?
I think you mean. Wow, I'm totally
divine.
Yes, there you go.
Is divine. She still there? Are they still there?
Yeah, divine.
I saw her recently at the entrance.
Wow. Yeah, Divine's an old hat. She's great. So Banks, did you check out any of the merchandise?
Yes, the merchandise.
Merchandise.
I spent some time. The merchandise.
Yes, thank you.
Spent some time in there. the merchandise for Pandora is pretty neat, actually. It seems to be all exclusive just for that land. Like, I didn't really see any outside type merchandise from rest of Walt Disney World. Like, there wasn't any, like, I think there was, like, you know, they had like the pin rack, and I think there was some standard Disney pins there, but otherwise, like, it's all Ace or Pandora themed, and it's pretty insane the level of detail they even go into what they're selling there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my boss Matt. I bought a sweatshirt for his son. They gave me the money too. My wife's here. She's looking at me like, "You bought it for them?" I got him a sweatshirt. Matt wanted me to get him the Na'vi tail. Only because like we're wondering how long those are actually going to still be on the shelves. So might as well get it now. And then I got the Na'vi translator they were showcasing on the blog a month or two ago.
Yeah.
I had no intention of getting that until I saw one at the checkout counter, and I was asked the customer if I could look at it and play with it for a second. And she told me that the cards, there's like 90 cards you can collect, and they said once the land officially opens, that if you get a duplicate card, you'll be able to trade with cast members.
Oh, nice!
And so that was kind of like for me. I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll get this and I'll start doing that." So that's the only reason why I got it. That's the only thing that I have bought. But the puppet banshees are they're adorable.
They're going to make money off of those things. They're going to make bank.
And I got a really good close up look at them. And from the photos, I thought, oh, they're like made of entirely made of plastic, but they look cute.
Mm-hmm.
But when I like got up and I was looking at it and I was touching it, like there is not really any plastic elements to it. It's like really natural feeling, like skin. It's pretty detailed.
So almost like the Carnotaurus they have at Dinoland, but small, and it sits on your shoulder and it's a little puppet kind of thing.
Kinda.
Yeah, so it's not like hard plastic. It's more natural feeling.
Those things are going to be crack for kids. Like, little kids are going to come see them things, and they're going to be, they're going to make so much money off of those things.
I was at Magic Kingdom last night, and I saw three people with them already.
Yeah.
Well, so. You have to wonder how many of those are the same people that they got their first Magic Bands and walked around, like, Orlando normally. So, you never know. But I think what's going to be interesting about the Banshees is, like, I think if people are going to see them, they'll be like, oh, that's cool. But the kids will really want to see it when, like, they see it on a cast member's shoulder, like, moving and stuff. Like, when people actually get it, they'll be like, oh, that's awesome, as opposed to being like, okay, that's fine.
No, the cast members inside Wind Traders, there was at least three of them with the puppets and showcasing how they work, and they're they're really into the story there. Like I went up and I asked them how much is one, and they tell me, they go, oh well, the adoption fee starts at $50, and you can and I'm like, adoption fee, what?
Uh-huh.
So they're treating it as seriously as they can.
Similar to getting a Pygmy Puff in Diagon Alley, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think I heard somebody said something like it was when they asked the cast member, told them that it was like $50, and then there are taxes, but those are for the shots and stuff that the bench will need to leave Pandora.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
it's adorable.
That's their wand.
What's the spade and neutering fee?
Listen, Bob Barker took care of it already.
Yeah, that's actually a really good analogy, though. I do feel like these puppets will be the wands of Pandora.
That's going to be Disney's wand. Like they're going to be everywhere.
I don't know about wand, but I think it'll be like their robes, maybe. Something that you'll around more.
I just mean it's going to be something that people are going to buy, like the wand. Like, people buy the wands. Even people who don't buy like the gowns and all that, they're going to buy – I mean robes. They're going to buy – they buy the wand.
It's going to be interesting to see
a lot of people buying this.
It'll be interesting to see how many they sell, because
I just feel like if you're down there with your kid and you come off of that ride and those puppets are there, or even if they can't even ride the ride, they can't get on the Banshee thing, but they can go and own a Banshee, and parents are going to pay for it.
I guess I should go ahead and confirm. Yes, you do exit Flight of Passage into the gift shop.
Yes. Well, I mean, that was a given.
Right. One thing that just randomly popped in my mind. When I was talking to a cast member about the bioluminescence, he said there is actually one real plant that is scattered throughout Pandora that is native to Australia that actually naturally has bioluminescence.
Well, that's cool.
So I was like, that's cool. They actually have real bioluminescence.
And that's why the land cost $1.2 billion.
Exactly.
Well,
Australian plant.
The land cost $700 million. That's the last number I heard is 700. So take that for what it's worth. But last I heard
is
700.
The last number I heard was 700 million, but that was from Joe.
Yeah. I don't think it works like that, Nick.
Time I heard was 700, but that was from Nick, who heard it from Joe.
Okay, it's $1. $1 for the. Again, we're going for all these Price is Right references today. $1.
real quick, another thing I was thinking of, and I guess it's too late to say it, but spoilers. There is an area where you can see the backdrop of from that's behind the mountains, and you see a bunch of waterfalls cascading down. What they told me, and what I confirmed with several cast members, is that there is a waterfall that's at the very top, and it looks real, but it is not. It is a projected waterfall because it's supposed to be really far away, so they couldn't get real water small enough to look like a giant waterfall from far away. So
yeah.
But by God, when you look at it, like I did not know it was fake until someone pointed it out.
Yeah, that's the problem with like even Volcano Bay has that issue where when you make something look like a waterfall that's far away, it just looks like a garden hose. It doesn't have any of the mass. It looks just like a small waterfall on top of something and not something far away.
Exactly.
So that's very impressive. That's good.
Yeah. It just even during the day and even during the sunset, like the way they do that. It looks 100% real, and it's pretty awesome. It's another cool little detail that you just there are a lot of details you just have to talk to cast members and they'll point them out. They're happy to point out all the details that's around there, and I'm sure I haven't even heard the half of it.
Cool. Have you had any of the food and beverage?
No, I have not.
Darn.
I spent my 2 hours exploring and doing all the queues and all that fun stuff. I'll be trying food on Friday for sure. So I'll post thoughts. But no, I haven't gotten to do any of the food yet. But I really want to try that cheeseburger pod though.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is like the drinks are not good, are not very good. I hear the beers are from Terrapin though, which is interesting. Yeah,
Terrapin.
And,
hell yeah, Athens, Georgia.
Yeah,
Georgia,
which is really bizarre but cool.
Terrapin is Miller Coors, baby.
Yeah,
Miller Coors bought out, and they have the rights to the new Brave Stadium too. Miller Coors does.
Ah,
so we have Miller Coors stuff, and then like Hops Kuchner and High Five, which are pretty really good beers.
Mm-hmm.
As tall boys at the new Brave Stadium.
Nice.
So that
was your sports minute.
That's good news for the beer situation.
Yeah.
Hopsicution is a good beer.
Yes, it is.
It's very delicious and very strong.
Yes. Chuck didn't like the beers quite as much. I think he compared one to Sam Adams and the other one an IPA without the hop floralness of it. So that doesn't sound great, but whatever. But yeah, I'm excited for the food. So I'll watch Twitter for your reviews of the food. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like the food is amazing. That sounds like the one complete... Excuse me, the NyQuil's getting to me now. Woo! The one complete, like, knocked out of the park is the food. I'm really excited.
Joe is the foodie of the group.
I am excited for the fried tofu, but the make-your-own bowl sound really good, too.
The fried tofu, really. All that stuff, you get excited for the fried tofu.
Fried tofu is really good. Any other questions for Banks, Lane, and Nick?
No, I appreciate him coming on to talk with us.
Yeah, do you have any? Sorry, Nick.
I do have a question.
Okay,
when are you gonna videotape the unboxing of your last Nick box? Because that Rocco's Modern Life shirt was like pretty amazing.
I unfortunately did not videotape that.
You didn't?
Yeah, we were too excited just to open it up. So.
That shirt's amazing.
I love that shirt so much. My God, I am now like 100% behind this Nick box. I'm staying subscribed to it. They've gotten some amazing things.
Huh. So, any other last comments or things you want to talk about with Pandora or in general, Banks?
I mean, it's it's definitely a land. It's got to be seen to be believed. It shows why it took so long to build this thing. You can just see it. Like, they spent their time getting the details down, and you can kind of see the love that they put into it. And I know it's been the butt of jokes for many years, this place, but like, as soon as you walk into it, you're transported and you're just in awe. And at least this is my personal opinion. I'm sure there will be people going there ready to piss on it, but I just think that Disney knocked us out of the park. And if this is what they can do, then I have high expectations for Star Wars Land. Mm-hmm. They have a lot to, they have a high bar to hit now, and I am so looking forward to what they can do there.
Cool. All
right, I have two more questions for you, Ben.
Yep.
I just kind of thought of them. So how do you think, as far as spacing and when the summer comes and this thing's open to everybody, do you think it's going to be uncomfortably crowded in there, or is it designed where it can handle crowds well?
I think it can handle the crowds. I was able to walk around every single pathway, and there's a lot of pathways that go around, and a few staircases and several like various elevation levels, and the fact that how massive that Fly the Passage queue is, that'll hold a lot of people. I think, especially the areas when you're walking underneath the floating mountains, the pathways are huge. They are wide. There's a lot of space there. So I think they won't have any issues with that. But of course, it's hard to tell. Who knows how many people will show up. But I don't. They definitely don't have the issues that sometimes that Potter has with crowds walking through Hogsmeade and Diagon. It's a lot more spacious there, both in terms of width and in terms of height.
Okay. All right. I don't remember my other question now.
do the floating mountains? Does that effect work, or is it still kind of look like an arch kind of situation?
It still kind of looks like an arch. Like, you can obviously tell that the vines coming down from the floating mountains are what support them, but it's still pretty awesome to be able to pretty much completely walk all the way underneath and around.
Mm-hmm.
And around them, and plus they have like these sound effects of like other creatures that are make like living in the caves and the floating mountains. And there's really like aside from the sights, there is a lot to hear too, both at day, and then we could tell when the sun was setting, a whole new set of sound effects was starting to come alive, and it's
okay.
There's a lot to hear there.
Is it like music, or is it like atmospheric type?
Just stuff. Atmospheric. I don't think I heard one piece, like one music note anywhere, except for in the River Journey,
the
ride.
Boat ride.
The Shaman of Songs. Mm-hmm. She's obviously singing, and there's music there. But other than that, really trying to think about it, that maybe there is a radio playing somewhere, maybe at Pongo Pongo or inside Setuli, because I did walk in there for a second. But there's no like BGM. It's just natural sounds, and it's kind of neat.
Because that sounds a little different from the rest of Animal Kingdom, but hey, that's cool though. I'm trying to think if there's any other questions on my end. I think I'm good for now. So Banks, where can we find you online at?
If you want to follow me on personal accounts, at Banks Lee on Twitter and Facebook, and then for work is at Attractions on Twitter, Facebook.com/attractionsmagazine and YouTube.com/attractionsmagazine. Weekly show that I host every Thursday, and we'd love to have you come on by and say hi.
Yeah, well, we need to get to Orlando and need to go to Fun Spot so we can do that, especially with
Fun Spots.
Yeah. Yes.
<That's> huge.
Yes, it is huge. It also has really good Yingling deals. Nick,
I want to go so bad.
I want to go too. Nick,
let me know when you're in town. Our set's at Fun Spots, so we'll try and
Which one?
We're at the Orlando location by Universal.
Okay, so
okay.
Yeah, we can go to that one, but I also want to go to the other one so we can do Mind Blower.
I'm excited for that.
I think that may be the best. I think that may be the best attraction opening in Orlando this year. So that's just
mind blower.
Mind blower,
like a runaway mine train. Yeah,
I think I said mind. I'm not sure. So Nick, where can we find you online at?
Parkscope Nick on Twitter.
Awesome. Lane, where can we find you at?
At Parkscope Lane, aka Fastlane Plus.
You can find me at Parkscope Joe. You can find all of us at Parkscope. Go subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. Be super nice and cool and give us 5 stars, pretty please. We got a really, really, really cool episode of the podcast coming next week. I just edited it. It's going to be going to have Tom Merriman. He's the founder of Themed Amusements. He's also the past VP of Operations and Entertainment at Knott's, VP and GM of several Six Flags parks, and also the CEO of Ocean Park in Hong Kong. He's talking with Alan for about an hour and a half about his history, his view on theme parks, and a bunch more. So that's going to be dropping in a week. So thank you, everybody. Lane, do you want to lead us out?
Love everybody. Hate everything. Congolese!